finances, keep the main thing, right? So I remember going on the porch, looking at the sky and saying, God, I never want this to happen again. Because the 3 months, because nobody was hired at the time, went down to $300. Can't make the mortgage payment. That means we can't buy food, right? Couldn't get unemployment at the time because they denied the unemployment. So it was pretty tough, right? So from that point moving forward, every decision from, I said, God, you know, all I'm trying to do is when I work again, I'm going to take my finances serious. And every time that I get paid, it's keep the main thing. So as it relates to money management, what do you think that means? So when you get up in the morning, the one thing you should think about is, what is the mission? Am I trying to get out of debt? Is that the mission, right? Am I trying to build my savings account for the first time to $1,000 and I've never done it before? The main thing. Am I trying to get to retirement and have my bills paid off? The main thing, right? So this is something that I want to kind of talk about is, if you kind of go to the next slide, I got a question I really want to ask. You know, do you like managing money or do you like the part of making it and spending it? How many people like the making the money or the spending the money? Which one you like more? Spending it, right? Making it, not so much, right? All right. So what about money management? How many people like to manage it? Manage it. What are the challenges to managing money? Discipline, all right. Say that again. Saying no to yourself. Spending less than you make. Is that hard or is that easy? I got some hard, there's some easy in here. So if you can kind of go to the next slide here, you'll see this person named Chuck Yeager. How many of you ever heard of this person's name before? Chuck Yeager. So Chuck Yeager, in October 14th, 1947, this person broke the sound barrier. Think about the sound barrier, right? He had to fly 769 miles per hour to break the sound barrier. Now, this is pretty fast. When you say pretty fast, breaking the sound barrier. Can you go to the next slide? So watch this. He said he broke the sound barrier, but then later he said, I realized the mission had to end in a letdown because the real barrier wasn't in the sky. The real barrier was in knowledge and experience of supersonic flight. You'll see a quote that I have here. It said, a real barrier to achieving your financial success isn't in money. That's not the barrier. Your barrier to proper money management and financial success is in knowledge, mindset, and habits you have around money. That is the key. What is your knowledge? Did anyone grow up learning about money here? I didn't, right? There's some grateful people in here because their parents taught them growing up, right? And even with that, sometimes you can fall off, but because of knowledge, you can get back up again, right? So it said right here, the best place to start with proper money management is with your why and your compelling reason. That's the best place to start. How many people set a 2020 goal? How many people have a goal? Okay, can you give me some of those goals? What's your goal? Okay, marriage, all right. Nothing wrong with that. I'm married. Anybody else? Goal for 2020. Rebrand, rebuild. I like that. That's the title right there. Rebrand and rebuild. Can I change money management to that? Rebrand and rebuild. All right. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Lower the bill, lower your debt, and what else? Raise what? Okay, so how you do that? You raise income too. So you can do that too as well. So what else is some of the goals? Lower your bills and expenses. That's a great goal. Anybody else? There's nobody. Okay, great. Music. Okay. Yes. More streams of income. So let me ask you something. How many people in here ever purchased a house before? Just purchased a house before. Do you remember sitting down with the person, and let's say, friends, they said you got too many debts or too many expenses, and you need to lower those expenses, right, to qualify to be approved to get into that house. How compelling was getting the house? You lowered the expenses, right? Now, like, was it hard for you to lower the expenses? Right? Was it hard or was it easy to lower your expenses? Maybe in the beginning it was like, man, I got to give up, or I got to do this to get to a house. But to get a house, it has to be compelling. And they say, don't get no more debts until you move in. Is that right? If you get another debt, what will happen to the approval? It'll be denied. So it's one of those things of you got to have a compelling reason. If you're saying that, you know what, I'm going to get married, right? And let's say, for instance, both parties come together and you got to put your finances together. How compelling is it to get married? If you got to give up something, right, to gain something. Think about that. Like, do y'all have a compelling obsession about I'm trying to achieve something? What is that goal? Is rebranding and rebuilding an obsession? Like, I really want this to happen, so I'm not going to spend like I used to. I'm going to do something totally different. How compelling is your goal? Right? If you can go to the next slide, please. So you'll see a book that I want you to actually go to Amazon and purchase. This book is called How Money Works. When it comes to education and your knowledge, this is a book that actually will give you 7 steps of actually how to have proper money management, how to get out of debt, how to grow your wealth, how to retire. Really good book you want to actually go through. How many people in here are taking notes? Awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you can take some notes, I definitely would appreciate it as well. It said go to Amazon, purchase that book. Because like I said, I'm only here one time. But what else can be a tool that you can use to actually help you with proper money management? Can you go to the next slide, please? You got a scripture said, Ecclesiastes 7:11. It said, wisdom is good with an inheritance and advantage to those who see the sun. See, you're going to get money, but at the same time, if it's not wisdom in it, it could be paycheck to paycheck. I remember it was a moment when I was reading this book called Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki. And in that book, it kind of talked about how these people actually structure their money, rich dad, poor dad, how they structure their money. And how I grew up, my parents used to make money and they had expenses. So they'd make money, have expenses, and all the money would be out the window. And I say, you know what? When I get my job, I'm going to do things totally different. So I got a job, had a good career with Brumos, and I bought a house. And what comes with a house? More bills, right? More expenses, right? And I led to what? Money out the window. So it's one of those things I say, you know what? How can I improve this? So I just made sure I focus on next time having assets is what I focus on. So when I make income, what should I focus on? Liabilities, expenses, or assets? How many people know what an asset is? If you don't know what an asset is, assets are things that pay you income. They grow in value, right? Liabilities are things that takes money away from you. So if you're living in your house, it's considered a liability. It's not considered an asset until somebody is living in it and paying you an income, right? So you got income to asset, and that creates an income flow. And then you pay your expenses. So you're trying to increase your income that way. If you can go to the next slide, you'll see that this is one of the, I would say, the crisis of Americans right now, and not just American, around the world. This is a term called financial illiteracy. It's the knowledge of, if you know how to invest money, spend money, save it, manage it, that's financial literacy. But a person who don't know how to manage, spend, invest money is considered illiterate. So I was at Barnes & Noble today at the Town Center just doing something called a How Money Works Challenge. And they said if you can answer 3 out of 5 of the questions, you'll be considered financially literate. So I was just amazed that as I was out there, people didn't know me. I was just asking them these 5 questions. Some of them knew all 5. Some of them knew 4 of them. Some of them knew 2 of them. But they were just so excited to see, okay, where do I stand in my knowledge? So I'm going to give you a website to go to just to see where you are at when it comes to, am I knowledgeable in money and money management or not? I'm going to give it to you in the end. All right, let me give it to you now. He's like, hold on, let me write down. I saw that. So it's MaricoWalker.com. My first name, MaricoWalker, Walker, WALKER.com. If you go there, it's an actual How Money Works quiz. You're going to take 5 questions, and you're going to just see where you stand. Am I financially illiterate, or I'm financially literate? Nobody going to know. Only person to know is you. So once you learn, they say, okay, I need more information. I need to learn more, and I'm going to grab a book to start my knowledge in money management. So if you can go to the next slide, please, you'll see these are the 10 leading causes of what is called overspending. 10 leading causes. How many people ever heard of a credit card? Right? So this is a leading cause of overspending. What I see a lot of is people have money in their savings account and they don't want to spend the money they have money in their savings, so they use their credit card and not their savings because they feel like something is going to happen, right? So they keep the money in the savings and use the credit card. It's easy to get it, right? But at the same time, one of the things you got to pay attention to with credit cards, what are the normal interest rate of credit cards? 18%, 24%, right? Some 30%, right? So one of these things you got to think about when it comes to money management is the knowing how money works. There's a rule that you want to look up called the Rule of 72. So with this rule, you are able to make a decision. Do I use my credit card and then allow somebody to charge me 24% or 18%, and do I allow my savings account to only grow at a bank 0.25%, 0.03%, right? So which one of them should I do? How many people got a calculator in here? Anybody got a calculator? Can you use it real quick? Do me a favor, take 72 divided by 0.25. What is that? 288. Can anybody tell me what that 288 represent? How many years it take for your money to double? How many people in agreement with that? How many people in agreement? It would take 288 years for your money to double. How many people in agreement with that? So that, 288 years. So that means that you're okay with, do me a favor, take 72 divided by 24. 72 divided by 24, what is that? 3. So you're saying that it's okay for a lender to allow their money to double off of me every 3 years and let my money sit in an account where it takes 288 years to grow. So you'll make better, wiser decisions. Okay, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use a credit card because I'm allowing them to double their money off of me. It can seem like, man, I'm not paying this credit card off. Or it seems like I'm not paying this debt off. Why is that? Because the interest rate is doubling and your money just sitting, just resting, right? It takes longer to double. So credit card is a leading cause. Just being able to make a proper decision on should you use it or not. You'll see right here, making only the minimum payments. You'll see cars on here. Why is a car is a leading cause of overspending? Your what? It's a worse liability. It devalues quickly. What else? What else? It's the upkeep of it, right? The maintenance of it. False sense of status. That can happen. Meaning that, think about, I was talking to some kids at last Saturday. I was telling them, I said, if y'all deal with people, these kids from 13 to 17, and I made a statement, I said to them, if you can pray in school, you can be wealthy. I said, if you can pray in school, you can be wealthy. And I did it from the standpoint of, a lot of kids don't pray in school is because of how they are viewed in school, right? They say, oh man, this person is praying. I still want to look cool, right? So I said, if you can pray in school, you can be wealthy. If you can put yourself in a situation where you don't care about what other people are thinking, you can be wealthy. You don't have to have a brand new car. You don't have to have the latest trend, right? You don't have to look good. You should be able to make a decision for your own self. So you'll see right here, cars and peer pressure and, you know, spending to feel good. A lot of time, if you can just make a decision and not worry about the opinion of other people, you can have great money management. You can see somebody else going out of town. You say, bless your heart. You know, do your thing. Do you, right? You can see somebody driving a Mercedes Benz. You can say, you know what? Do you. I got my four-door car, and it get me from point A and point B, right? So you're not worried about the opinions of other people. So that's important to proper money management, is not worrying about what people are saying. You'll see right here, becoming addicted to spending, trying to keep current, ignoring your financial goals. Very important. Wanting to be one of the best for your children. I've seen that before. Meaning that a person will spend as they are getting older because they felt they neglected their kids at one point, and now they want to make sure that they're providing for their grown kids that they didn't do in the past. So you just got to make sure of being able to say no, right, to them. Because sometimes we can enable people. They may not want to move out. We're taking care of them when we should be taking care of ourselves. And then you right here, you say, thinking that money can buy you happiness. So you want to pay attention to that one. Can you go to the next slide? So you'll see these are the core fours, the core four. So you'll see 80% of success around money management is 80% psychology, 20% mechanics. The 80% represent what we call internal communication, external communication. That's 80% psychology. What people are saying, the people you're around, right? And what you're saying to yourself. Meaning that when you get into the mall and you see something in the mirror, your window shopping, and you see something, what are you saying? When you get your paycheck, what are you saying? What is that internal dialogue do you have around money? Is it, ooh, it's time to have a party? Or is it time to, you know what? God has blessed me with money. I got knowledge now. Assets is what I need to be focusing on. Buying assets that grows in value, that can pay me an income. That's what you got to focus on. Here's what you got to pay attention to. When you set your goal, and it's a compelling reason, if you are naturally going out to eat during your lunch break, right? If you're naturally doing it and you got a friend that you naturally go out with, can you say, you know what? I got a new goal. I'm not good. Girl, come on. You got to go, you know. Can you still say, no, I got to go. I'm becoming debt-free. I'm building my savings account. I'm about to retire. Man, I never had $10,000 in a savings account before. Let me try this. You know, I never had $30,000 in saving. Let me go after that. But you got to be careful of the external communication of the people you're around. Because they're not going in the same direction you're going. They'll pull you back in. spending all your money. True. Absolutely. They'll pull you up. So you'll see right here, you can't talk your way out of something, you behave your way into. We must behave our way out of it. We can't talk it. We got to behave our way out of it. Right? We got to learn different habits. You'll say it's about teaching how to develop good money habits. So these are four areas of your finance. As you're thinking about money management, these are the four areas. You see right here, making money. Second thing is growing your wealth, protecting your money, and then being able to transfer that money to your inheritance, your beneficiaries, without going through probate. So you got to protect every area. So as you're making money, what is important? What get taxed right off the top if you work for a job? You get taxed, right? Taxes come out. What else do you got to pay attention to? Social Security tax. What else you got to pay attention to in your paycheck? Medical. Okay, what else in there that comes out? 401k. What else? Okay, now. Bless him, Lord. Cover him. Plead the blood. Anoint him. All right. So you got all these things coming out. Here's another thing you got to pay attention to. All the accidental deaths. The cancer policies. Make sure that you can have all this thing maybe in a policy without having more than one thing coming out. Oh man, it's just $20 per pay period. Hey, that stuff adds up. Right? So you just gotta pay attention to all the deduction in your account. Not only that, when it comes to making money, when most people think about, you know what, I'm gonna claim low, zero, right? So I can get a big tax return. Right? Think about this. They took more money out, they used it, and they gave it back to you with no interest. So it's about not saying that don't pay your taxes, but don't pay your unfair share of it. Make sure you put your money in accounts that grow in interest, and it's really about having good money management. Okay? So when it comes to making money, you can do something like 1099 income. Why would I do something 1099 income as it relates to money management? Because of deductions. When you do your taxes, you get more deductions for that. Just think about it. For every mile you drive, you get 58 cents. How many miles do you drive? Just think about it, and you can get back 58 cents for every mile. Like, why wouldn't you, right? So you got to think about this area of your money management is making it. Then you got growing it. It's important that you read a book or some books on how to invest your money. For the simple reason is I don't want to have my money in an account that grows every 288 years, right? So I need to be having my money grow at a different rate. I was doing something with my son. He actually read this book right here. I sat him down. I came from a conference, and I asked Rico, I said, Rico, what do your dad do to you that make you feel that he love you, right? This was a question that was posed. Go back and ask your family. So I did that. So he told me what he felt that I was doing to him. He's like, man, you kind, you always there. You know, you definitely just your demeanor, the way you communicate, that type of thing. And I said, well, what can I do more? He said, I wish you would push me more. I said, I push you more? He said, yes. I wish you would push me more in reading and football as well. And I said, Rico, I push y'all in reading, so I wish you would push me more in it. I said, okay. I said, do you give me permission to do it? He said, yes, I give you permission to do it. So we finished the conversation. Guess what I asked him? I said, Rico, what are you about to do right now? He said, well, I don't got nothing to do right now. I said, guess what you can do right now? You can read a book right now. So he went upstairs, grabbed him a book, and started reading it. So he read it for like 15 minutes, went to the barbershop, and then I went to my office, and he was about to grab his phone. And I said, Rico, that's my son's name, what are you about to do? Guess what I told him to do? Read the book, right? So I didn't tell him what book to read. He actually picked up the How Money Works book and read it. It took him an hour and 45 minutes to read that book I just told you about. And I said, Rico, I said, what did you learn from that book? He said, I learned this 72 rule. I said, do you mean the rule of 72? He's like, yeah. He said, what do that mean? He said, man, you take your 72 divided by your interest rate and it tell you how many years it takes for your money to double. I'm like, Rico, you're 13. I said, do you realize that principle can help you to become wealthy, just that one principle? He said, well, I kind of know. I said, let me show you. Because my son and my daughter, they do a business and they make money and we put it into an account, right? And I went and showed him his account. I said, Rico, I said, one smart decision is all you need. Just write that down. One smart decision is all you need. So I said, Rico, what do you got on right now? He got on some Air Force Ones. His grandparent bought the Air Force Ones for him. I said, Rico, how much did those shoes cost you? He said, man, those shoes cost me $100. $100 for some shoes, right? I said, do you realize what that one smart decision can do for you? Let me show you. So we did his age, 13. At a rate of return of 12%, doubling every 6 years, $100, when he turned retirement, guess what it would be? $51,000. One smart decision to not buy Air Force One. Just think about that, not buying a nice car and investing that money for your retirement. Just think about what that can turn to. I said, Rico, let me show you your account, because he has a bank account. Let me show you your money. And I showed him his money, investing it, doubling every 6 years. It would be $288,000. Just one smart decision, take what he has and put it away and don't touch it. The key thing is to money management is what? Don't touch it. Oh, man. I want to go out of town. Don't touch it. Man, my family's having a family reunion this year. Guess what? Don't touch it, because you got a compelling reason of doing something. Get out of debt. Rebranding and rebuilding, right? That's what we're doing with our finances, right? So I said, Rico, now you see why Dad don't have the Mercedes-Benz. Even though we can get it, guess what Dad don't have? A Mercedes-Benz. I'm not telling y'all not to have it. I'm not telling you to have it. If that's more important to you, of looking good, I would prefer to have net worth. I would prefer to have passive income. I would prefer to have assets, right? Then, you know what? I look good. What's more important, pressure or freedom? I thought this was Freedom Church. What's more important? Freedom, right? So you'll see growing your wealth, protecting your wealth. That's, you're paying attention to inflation. You're paying attention to taxes. You got to pay attention to that, because there's a wealth formula. The wealth formula is money. You got your notes. Money, how many people got their notes in writing? Money plus time. How many people heard of time value of money? Time value of money. The sooner you start, the more money you have. So money plus time mean that if I start the young as I am, not worrying about the opinions of other people, and put my money, mean that it's about where I'm going, not where I am. The more time I have, the more money I have, plus or minus rate of return. That's important. That's why you got to pay attention to your TSP, your 401k, your IRA, right? Rate of return matters minus inflation. Yes? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Can. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. True. True. Interest. Growing at what interest rate? Is it? What bank? What if I told you not 3%? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Even with the points, they have a higher interest rate too. Like when the one that you get points and trips and stuff like that, you're actually the one you're saying same as cash, no interest on it, right? You're budgeting that one through. But your friend is saying get the one that would give points, but the one you're paying off in a year, is they're charging interest on it. Mm-hmm. Yep, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yep, you just have. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's still okay. You just got to think about the person who has, let's say, $10,000 in their savings or $9,000 in their savings. Should I get a credit card, use it, same as cash, when I have $10,000 in the savings? Why? You can do it either way. It's just really you. Me, personally, I just use cash. Cash flow is more important to me, meaning free of cash flow, meaning that now that's taking up my flow of cash. Huh? Correct. Mm-hmm. Short term. Yep. Mm-hmm. Correct. For me, like I said, cash flow is more important to me. Like having, no, I have it already in my savings. That's what I'm saying. That's the two different philosophies. I'm not, it's one of those things of agree to disagree. Your way works for you. Not saying that telling you do it my way. If it works for you. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying that's a way to do it. Not saying that that's the only way to do it. Yep. So let's say, for instance, for me, cash flow is more important. Like, for me, let's say, for instance, in my circumstance, I get let go from my job, and I've allotted credit card companies or companies as I have to pay these debts now. Now no income. From my perspective, from what happened to me, cash flow is more important. If I have the money, I'm just going to pay it. Because for me, I don't want to be, you know what? Somebody can let me go, and I have all these things I have allotted to pay for. It's your choice of how you want to do it, but that is a way. So can you go to the next slide, please? So when it comes to a budget, you'll see that, if you can go to the next slide. So with a budget, you got to have two things in mind. You got to have a budget and a spending plan. Your budget is just itemized. It's just black and white. That's the most challenging thing to have is a budget. Right? Most people can write their goals down, but then what? It's out the window. It's itemized, right? What's coming in, what's going out. But you also got to have a spending plan. Like she just said, she have a plan to pay it off in 12 months. This is where this money going. You got to have a plan for your money. Without a plan, it's just your strategy of where you want your money going now and in the future to accomplish the mission, your compelling reason, right? Will you go out of town without a spare tire? No, you'll make sure it's aired up. Do you plan a vacation? Most people, yes. Well, we got to do the same thing with our finances as well. We got to plan. And then you got something called money segregation. See, you said most people think of a budget as a restriction. You got to think of money as three components: necessity, lifestyle, personal savings. When you think about these categories, lifestyle, most people say, well, you know, I need a car, but you need the luxury car, right? Right? So you just make sure that I got my necessities covered, I got my personal savings covered, and it's in my budget to get the nice car, right? Now I can go to lifestyle. Most people go necessity, lifestyle, then personal savings. It should be necessities, personal savings, then lifestyle. And you see, temptation is the enemy of saving. What, everybody got a temptation. You got to pay attention to what that temptation is and try to avoid it. If that friend is a temptation, you do what? Avoid it, right? So you got to do that. Can you go to the next slide, please? So with your budget, you'll see you got to list everything on paper. Or if we have time, I have a spreadsheet that I have put together that you can use. All you got to do is put the numbers in. It has the formula already, how to calculate it, and it will show you. So put everything on paper in your budgeting tool, tracking your spending and trimming. When I'm looking at money management, the biggest breakdown is not in the making money or the trimming, it's in the tracking part. How often do you sit down and look at what you're actually spending your money on? Do you keep the receipts and actually look at it? That's where the breakdown is. It's tracking it and looking at your habit and saying, ooh, when I go to this place, I'm normally buying something. Or when I'm hungry, I normally spend out. So it's just being prepared so that you can have that freed up money. One of the things here's what I see a lot. People say, I don't have the money. Here's what I've come to realize, that we have the money. The money is there. The question is, what are the priorities with the money? So we got to see where you're going with your money. You see, use cash, debit card versus debt when possible. If you can go down to the next slide, please. These are things that you want to add in your budget. You want to add giving in there, paying yourself, emergency fund. Y'all see this one? Fund, right? Don't put more in your fund than you do in your emergency fund, right? And then you got personal development, and then you'll see that 10-10-10-70 principle, right? So why would I have personal development in my budget? How many people have personal development in their budget? They're buying a book, they're reading it on something, personal development. Could be on finance. If finance is your weak area, that should be personal development. So you want to include that into your budget. And you'll see tithe, you know, pay yourself. And also it's kind of that 10% could be on personal development or emergency account and live on the rest of it. You'll see that 10-10-10-70 principle there. If you can go down to the next slide, you'll see this part kind of goes into having a goal, having a vision. You know, even, you know, the Bible saying Habakkuk chapter number 2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, right? Those who see it will run, right? Though it takes some time, right, Terry, wait for it, because it what? It will come. So it's very important. Like, it may be a long-term goal, it may tarry, but don't stop the goal. Just keep planning on that goal until it happens. Can you go to the next slide? This is kind of like on goal setting as it relates to finances. You see that middle one in the bow. It said the process of setting goals help you to choose where you want to go. What debts do you want to pay off? That means this person want to be debt free. When do you want them paid off? Right? What if it can't be now? It's tearing, right? In due time, right? It'll be paid off. It's saying, how much do you want to pay yourself? Is paying yourself in your budget? If it's not, you want to put that in there. How much do you want to give? Right? Is that in there? When do you want to retire? When you have retirement, one of the things you want to put as something you want to check, and you're talking about retirement, is something called a financial independence number, your FIN number. That's your most important number if you're trying to retire. How much do I need to save to walk away and not go back to work again? My FIN number. That is a number. Is it 1 million? Is it 900,000? Most people, they think it's 200,000. I have enough and I can retire. That's going to run out very quickly in retirement. So you need more than 200,000 to retire and not go back to work. So your FIN number is very important. The sooner you start, the less you have to save to reach that financial independence number. How much do you want to earn a year? What's the financial independence number? If you can go down to the next slide, please. This is something that I would ask you to do is, you know, write down that goal. If you haven't saved $1,000 in your emergency, make that a goal. These are four goals you want to pick a year. If you don't have a budget and a spending plan, make that a goal. And here's the key to that goal. Put a day in there where you're going to actually go back and track what you have spent. What is the day? Is it Sunday? Is it Friday? Is it Sunday morning? Track where your money is going. You'll realize, say that again. Saturday morning is what I said, or what I say? Okay, so, yeah, Sunday morning be in church, depending on how early you wake up, right? It could be at nighttime. Just make sure that, you know, you find a way to actually track your spending, right? Find a tool that you can use, yes. Every dollar, Dave Rams won. Yep. Okay. trying to get clarity on your question. Like, say, for instance, you're using the app, but for you, you're saying that you have a reminder that tells you to review it. You say you don't want to review it because you don't have enough to track? Okay. Okay. So can you tell me what part of it is the discouraging part? Is it the expenses of what you spent out, or is it I need to increase my income? For me, this is what I'm just going back to my compelling reason. I'm going back to 2008 on the porch, no income. Man, I never want this to happen again. Just telling you from that point of view. Even to today, right? I still remember that, right? So for me is, do you have cable? No cable. Okay, great. So do you spend money eating out? Okay. So, okay. What's that? Okay. We're talking about her now. Now it's built in there. I call it a good excuse. That's what I call it. That's all it is. So it's, what do I really need? Like, I could spend money eating out too as well, but we prep our meals and we actually eat lunch throughout the day. We take it with us, right? That part is budgeted in there because eating out takes more of my money. So it's what are the things that I'm really spending my money on? Do I really need it right now? Because what is the mission? Rebranding, rebuilding, right? So I just think about my compelling reason. Okay, is this more important than the mission? That's what I think about in the morning. Is this more important than the mission? Yes or no? It's not. Is becoming debt-free more important to me? Yes or no? Is building my savings account or getting this more important than that? And most times it's not. So that's what I normally do for me, is thinking about compelling reason, what is the mission, and I'm able to help make better decision from there. So I hope that helped. So you'll see right here, you know, why do I care about this goal? Why does this goal matter to me? Money management, why would this matter, you know, to me? You'll see, why do I believe it will happen to me? What am I telling myself? Well, you know, It's budgeted in there, you know? What am I telling? What's the story? So I got to check that story too as well. How do I get out of my own way? You know, I'm in my way. How do I get out of my way? Right? That when I say that, it's a habit that you're doing all the time. What is the feeling I want when I accomplish my goal? What am I going to do when I achieve my goal? So these are the questions that I'm asking myself before I even actually start money management. Now I know why I'm doing it. Now I know my mission. Now I got a tool I can use. Now I know why I need to track this, because I want this to happen now, right? I don't want it to tarry, right? So it's one of the things that I normally focus on. Can you go to the next slide? So you'll see right here, these are just some action items. First thing is, just do you. Don't worry about nobody else. Just like she had asked me, this is the way I normally do things, and it works for me. You know what I say? Just do you, right? Because it's what? Working for you. I see if I see if what you're doing causing you to overspend and you're in the red. I say, you know what? We need to do what? Make some changes, right? Got to make some adjustment. Find an accountability partner. Wow. That's going to be honest. Come on. Now you said you can't get mad at the person. You said, and they shook their head with it. Point the finger. I know. Okay, I'm back on track. You get to your goal faster when you say it. I want to just see if somebody would just say, this is my goal, and the church hold you accountable. I am going to become debt-free next 6 months. I'm paying this credit card off, paying that credit card off. Watch me. I decree and I declare it. How many people going to do that? Who would do it? Give me somebody that will come up here and do it. Okay. Come up here. I want somebody to decree and declare it.
I decree and I declare that by December 20th, 2020, I will have both of my cars paid off.
Thank you so much.
I decree and I declare in 4 months, I'll have my house paid off.
House paid off. Is that it? Is that it? Are y'all scared to declare what you're going to do?
I declare and declare that I have my wife's car paid off next year.
Hold on, hold on. When next year?
March 24th.
March 24th, 21. Did your wife hear that? Come on, declare some more. What else you gonna do? Right? So it's important that now some people spoke it. Oh man, I said it now. You're on notice, right? Brianna, you said in December you're gonna pay both cars off. Brother, you said in 4 months you're gonna be your house paid off. How close are you to that? Wow. A church that's gonna do that. Wow. Us holding each other accountable because we are examples, right, of Christ. I wish above all things that you will prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper, right? So, accountability. Identify 4 barriers you're going to break this year. A deadline, right? Write the goal down, set a deadline, identify the best budgeting technique for you, find the best way to track your spending. There are some books that you can reference. I already mentioned one of them. The other one's called The Million Dollar Habit by Brian Tracy, and you'll see a website there too as well that you should go to and check out. It's called MarikoWalker.com. It's just going to see, it's a quiz, 5 questions just to see where you are. So I have a spreadsheet that I want to use real quick. Do I have enough time to go through it? Are y'all okay? Can I go over the spreadsheet? Okay. I think this spreadsheet will help you as it relates to money management. If you put your name down with your email address, I can email it to you so you can actually start working on it with your financial plan and money management. Yes, sir. Yes, I can. I can help you with that. So here's the spreadsheet. Can I step up here? So in my spreadsheet, you'll see income 1, income 2, income 3, right? You'll see husband, wife, or single with more income, multiple screens of income, right? Right? So that's in there. Once you put your number in there, it'll automatically calculate your net, and it will calculate your gross. What is gross income? Before taxes. Net is after taxes. All right, this is what coming in. Net and gross. All right, so if you can scroll up some, please. Oh, I can't do that. I got to do that. Okay, let me stay down here. All right, so I'm going to come down. Up too fast. So here's your expenses. In this spreadsheet, you'll see your expenses. Tithes, cash, car insurance. I have budgeted in there, saving for my emergency. Do I need to make it bigger? You can come closer. You need to. JEA. You'll see cable in there, water, home security, lawn service, life insurance. Should we have life insurance in there? Yes. Cell phone. In my example, the cell phone is $200. Listen to me. I sit down with people and it's $200 or more. That's a family plan. All right. All right. Pay attention to this. Netflix, Hulu, streaming music in there. Look at this. Eating out is in there. $500. I see this. This is normal what I see. But it's important that you do it to see. And here's what you want to do. Don't guess the number. Go to your transaction, see where they are, and put it in there. You'll see that 8% of your income, in my example, is going out to eating out. You'll see grocery expenses, $500. Hair, the wife dignity, $200. Husband grooming, $80. This is what's going out. So we got what coming in. We got what's going out. 55% of my income is going out in just home household expenses. Also, let's keep scrolling down here. There you go. That's what I'm about to get to. Watch this. Now we get into rent and mortgage. $1,100. Car payment, $400. Second car payment, $349. I see this. I'm just showing you. Check this out. Credit cards in here. Credit card one, $120. Credit card two, $80. Minimum payment on credit card three, $34. You got $78 and then $500 going to one of them. So these are some of the things that I see, but if you was to look at this, yours may not look like this. So here's the key. When you were just going through that, what you notice, what would you not do if you saw $500 eating out? Would you say it's hard to save? Yes. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. Husband. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Out. Wow. Okay. And one of the things I do is, like, if I sit down with somebody, I'm sitting down with two people together. And I try to identify what is the compelling reason. I'm trying to figure out, is he okay with eating out. Right now he is, right? Man, I love eating out. I don't want to stop it. Right? But if he say, you know what, I'm planning on doing such and such. I'm trying to find something that would be a compelling reason to change. What would call you to change in that moment? Show him a receipt, right? So let me go up some here. I'm just going to go over. Let me see if I can go over. All right. So on my spreadsheet, it'll show you, it'll automatically calculate your expenses and your debts. It'll show you what's coming in net. What is your expenses? How much is staying in your household? Automatically tell you. Oh, man. Whew, I see the negative. Okay, now let's go back into it. My expenses are lower than it ever can be. If I'm at the lowest I can change in my expenses and my debt, what do I need to do? Raise your income. Now the question is, how bad do you want to do that? How bad is your compelling reason to save, pay the debts off, to have freedom? Yes, ma'am. Things is, are you okay with working from home? Don't work? So even like at a nighttime when he's home, that doesn't work either? It can. What if I can refer you to somebody that will help you with that? Okay, then, that's all it is. Okay. Trying to find the right job to do it. Okay, great, I do that. Perfect. Last part, and we're done. So here's what's important to me. This is what I look at. Important to me. What's staying in my house? These are my goals. How much am I saving? You got levels. Am I at the provision level, sufficiency level, abundance level, wealth and riches, generational wealth? Depending on how much stays in my house, tells me if I can build wealth and riches, generational wealth. Provision level is, right now, can I save less than $249? If I'm saving and I'm in the black and it's less than $250, that means I'm at the provision level. My goal is to get to the next level. I don't focus on generational wealth. That's long term. Short term, I'm just trying to get to sufficiency. That's it. I'm trying to get to where it's over $250 to $499 on a month that's staying in, right? Abundance level, I'm saving $500 to $999 a month. okay, I'm getting somewhere. Because every month you can go down here and change to another tab, copy and paste it, and see what this number is doing. So you can see your progression if it's staying in, going out. The key thing is you have the mental resolve to look at it. Look at what you're doing and saying, I need to make adjustment, right? Until you get it right. So those what I look at in the last part of the spreadsheet, and I'm done. Just a little bit more. Oh, right there. So in my spreadsheet, yours is not going to look like this. It's just going to be blank. All you got to do is add your numbers in. So in saving, this person has $5,000 in saving, right? It will automatically calculate for you how much money you should have in your emergency account based on his expenses and income, right? He need to have, or she need to have, $31,000 in their emergency account that will last 6 months if they get let go. It will automatically tell you how much life insurance you should have. It'll tell you what your income to expense ratio. So if you're trying to get a house, that's important. And your debt to income ratio, 37% in my slide here. When you're getting a house, your debt to income ratio shouldn't be 37%. It should be 20% or less to qualify for a mortgage, because this is the number they're looking at. They said, ooh, you know what? Let them pay some stuff off so I can get this number down so they can qualify for that house or that car, whatever you're trying to get with a low interest rate. So that's my topic, going over budget, money management. I hope there was a blessing to you, but I'm just curious, anybody have any questions about anything? Hands up. Yes, sir. That's why you got to sit down with a tax person. They will tell you the allowance number of what you should choose. Mm-hmm. You need a person to sit down with, is what you're telling me? Okay, just get with me and I'll make sure you have somebody that will help you pick what the W-9 is supposed to be. Yes, sir. Question, who was the one that got up, declared their goals? Can you stand up? All right. Deacon Larry did. Uh-oh. On notice. All right. Okay, for the ones who got up, declare their goals, I got a gift for you.
Oh, I like to read.
Yes. Got you a book? Got you a book? Got you a book. Awesome. Do anybody else want to declare? Do anybody else want to declare? Well, somebody get up. Don't.
Okay, so I declare by December of this year, no judging, I'll have a solid $1,000 saved in my savings account.
Yes. That was my last one, but come on up, please.